Turn with me tonight to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I was recounting today, going through and rehashing this revival, and the devil told me today, said, well, it's been pretty good. He said, in fact, it's been excellent. He said, if you closed out now, you could go home saying, well, it was great. And then I felt like the Lord said, but I ain't done yet. So I'm going to try to help you here tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I need to hurry and get to preaching because I may preach a little while tonight. I don't know. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Notice that there. Until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, came to the brook Bezor, where there were those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men. For 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Bezor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master. And I will bring thee down to the company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight, even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. If the Lord will help me tonight, I know that's a lot of reading and that's not normal for me, but I want to preach to you. Take my text. Notice verse number 4 said, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. No more power to weep. They were worn out. But verse number 18 says, and David recovered all. I want to preach to us tonight on a little simple thought. From the weary came winners. From the weary came winners. I don't have time tonight in preaching this to go through all the history of the things that was taking place and why Ziklag got burned. And we can spend a lot of time talking about that. And I know that David was not where he was supposed to have been. He was out of place, and he was helping Achish. And Achish relieved him of his duties. And 3 days' journey, he traveled. And he came to Ziklag. And I feel like in this, Brother Bailey, that on their way back to Ziklag after leaving the camp of the Philistines and Achish and coming back and making their way back, they begin to daydream and begin to think what it was going to be like to get back to their families and get back and have a few days to just settle in and everything just to be just perfect. You ever had that idea? You really had a preconceived idea and premeditated and planned and scheduled everything that you could. I don't know if they planned on what they planned on cooking for supper, what kind of dinner, what kind of celebration they were intending upon. But they had been gone. They left their families there. And so with everything that they planned on doing, they suddenly come to the place and get back to Ziklag. And about the time they're ready to approach the city limits here, just bear with me a few minutes, and we'll try to get to preaching something to you. Suddenly they begin to get the scent of smoke. And they begin to look up and they look out in the distance, just a little ahead of them. And there is smoke and smolder still rising of the things that had remained there, those things that had been destroyed and burned. And I feel like something in them thought, surely this can't be happening, what's happening, what's taking place here. This cannot be a reality. Surely there's got to be something different here. How can we have such high expectations and get so disappointed in the outcome of things? I mean, we know what we want and we know what we expect and we know what we desire. But somewhere on the road back, they suddenly get met with a situation where nothing's turning out like they thought it would. I don't know, maybe that could be the same explanation we have for this service tonight. It's not exactly turning out like we thought it would. But I want to tell you, everything is not going to end in ruin if we'll do some of the things that David did here at a time. Try to get a hold of it. Oh, come on now. When they got there, they done it. I know we could point fingers and say, well, you should do this and you should do that. And I've been one that's been as guilty as anybody has at pointing my fingers and say there's no use in crying about it. There's no use in throwing a pity party. But in reality, had I been there where David was at and I got to the city and everything that I had in possession was suddenly gone. All I had left was a knapsack full of something. And there I am. I don't have my wife. I don't have my children. My possessions are gone. Believe you me, I'm probably going to sit down for a little while and cry about it. Come on now. Hey, listen. This right here ought to let us know just a little bit. It's not so bad to cry. But there comes a point in time that after the crying's over, then you've got to get up and do something about it. It's not going to do you any good to sit and wallow in your misery. Amen. Of the things that you're missing out on and the things that are no longer present in your life. If you don't have them, there's only one thing that's left for us to do, and that's to get up and get it. I mean, we can sit and argue about it. We can have a committee meeting and discuss all of our options, but what we really need to do is just make up our minds that we're not satisfied with the outcome of this, that we're going to arise and do something different. It may be unusual, it may be what has never been done this way before, but there's a first time for everything, and this could be the move that we make now on the heels of our disappointment. That could be the thing that brings us a better outcome than we ever anticipated. You see, we've got to decide how important is it to us and what value value to be placed on it. If you lost it and it's no longer there, no effort to make a recovery simply means that you feel like it can be replaced by something else. But there are some things that you cannot replace. There are some things that I'm not looking for a duplicate. I don't need a photocopy of it. What I need is to get back what I had. You're going to help me tonight. I'm going to try to get in here and try to tell you something. I don't want to bore you with a lot of we was in a meeting someplace sometime back, and my wife was sitting there, and the preacher got up, and he gave us a good science lesson on a number of things, and I loved it. I really did. And I couldn't ever talk about it because I couldn't remember, but at the time, it was really interesting. I don't know what it all had to do with the Bible, but it was interesting anyway. And I looked at my wife and I said, "Well," I said, you didn't like science in school, but you're getting another lesson now." She said, "Didn't like it then? Don't care much about it now. Come on now." And I know some of you may feel that way about history. And I don't want to bog you down with a lot of details, but I want to tell you, when you get disappointed and your heart is breaking and suddenly you see what's taking place here, they've traveled 3 days just to get back home, and when they get back to Ziklag, everything that's taking place there is a disappointment. So they go another night without sleeping, and another day without sleeping, and you can imagine some of these here know, probably understands that when you get stay up for very long, after a while you're about body begins to tell you you are worn out. You can't go with the same energy that you one time had. All these things have taken place in your life. And the Bible said that what little strength that they had left, they wept and cried until they had no more power. They were so weak. At this point in time, something begins to change. These men that were so faithful to David, these men that had walked behind him and had thought he was the greatest man in the world, because, amen, they just thought there was nobody like him. But when this disappointment came, Brother Keith, it so vexed their heart that they changed their opinion and began to look for someplace and somewhere to lay the blame. The finger pointing started, and they started saying it's their fault, and it's this one's fault. It's amazing, when all is good, everybody is happy, but little trouble arises, and you'll start blaming the pastor, and you'll say it's his fault, and it's their fault. And it got so bad that this man David, they loved so well, they were soon ready to stone him. I want to get down to a point right here, so you'll get all this. There became so much dissension in the midst of the camp that these men were ready to turn on one another right while everything was going on. And I feel like telling you tonight, don't turn on anybody. Don't lay the blame on anybody. I know as well as you know the devil is mad. I know I've made him mad. And I'm loving every minute of it. And there ain't nothing I'd rather do than make the devil mad. It doesn't matter to me what he thinks about this revival. I know he stirs up dissension and says, "Well, if you hadn't have done that and this hadn't have taken place, well, we wouldn't be in this position." But you cannot cry over spilt milk forever. There comes a time upon your finger at me. It's not getting your possession back. Laying blame on the pastor, it's not giving you a recovery. You can say way back when, the reason we got this way was poor leadership. That's not to be argued about now. What we've got to figure out is how we're going to get back that
we've lost. It's been mentioned more than once in this service tonight about used to. There's only one thing to erase the used to, and that's to get back in action and start doing it again. If we want a move of God and we really want revival, we cannot be content with just sitting around weeping over the ruins and disappointments that are occurring in our lives.
I'm not near done. I'm trying to hurry because I don't want to preach all night. I may have to. Y'all with me here, ain't you? I don't know. But you've got to admire the character of David in this. He lost as much, if not more, than anybody did. Now, I want you to get this here. He never one time in this turned his attention toward his people. He never blamed them. He never said, it's your fault. He never one time took the time to stand up and say, leave me alone. We waste time whenever there's an accusation that is not true. We waste too much time trying to defend ourselves instead of trying to go on ahead and getting back what belongs to us. Is this making any sense? It really is. I hope it is. And if it ain't, you know, just hold your head still and don't shake it either way yet. Maybe you'll get it before it's over with. Here it is. He's lost all these things. The people are turned against him. His soul is grieved. But then verse number 6 said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I stand amazed at this. Brother Jeff Smith, I look at this. Now, how in the world, when everything, and we've heard it used before, everything that could go wrong had already done it. It couldn't get no worse than what it is right here. And suddenly, in the midst of all this, he can hear, he's sitting in, maybe he's pitched his tent, and he's in there, and he can hear them outside as they're scheming. And said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just get rid of David and get us somebody else. I think I could have done a better job than what he's doing. And all this is going on. But right there in the middle of that disappointment and discouragement, David suddenly, the lights went on, and he suddenly got a little, I don't know, we call them cold chills, that went streaked over him. And right in the middle of all this, there was a smile come over his face, and he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray about this. And he went over and he called Abiathar, the priest, Elimelech's son. He said, bring me the ephod. Bring it over here. He said, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to pray a little while about this. Listen, it's amazing the cures that come out of folks that take time to pray instead of stewing over things that are going wrong. I tell you, it does you absolutely no good to sit and wonder and wonder and wonder and wait and let time go by, trying to figure out what's going wrong. If you'll just buckle down and find you a place to pray, we'll get through this a whole lot faster. Maybe I'm off on this here, but I feel like telling somebody here, you're worrying too much, you're thinking too much. Put your brain in neutral and do some praying, and you'll get over this a whole lot faster. But as long as you are preoccupied with trying to figure out the causes and who's to blame, and here's the reason, I want to tell you something. You enlisted just as they did. They volunteered, and this is part of it. But if it really means anything to you, let's get back to fighting. Let's get down to praying and get a hold of God and get victory in our soul. I'm trying to help you here. And so David went and he prayed. Now, this to me, I ain't gonna say it's the greatest prayer, but it's one of the most unusual prayers and answers to prayer that you'll read in the Bible. Now, notice David's prayer was this. David inquired of the Lord, and he said, "Shall I pursue after this troop?" And so he just wanted to know, is it going to do me any good to go looking for this troop? And then his second question was, "Lord, shall I overtake them? Shall I pursue them? Shall I chase them? And shall I catch them?" You see, David, at this point right here, he is just going to be content to let somebody know that he's still got some fight in him. He never imagined. It never crossed his mind in any way at all that he would ever recover everything that was taken. But he said, "I just want to let them know that I'm going to fight for that is mine." And I love the response of the Lord. He gave a two-part prayer request, and God gave him a three-part answer. You hearing me tonight? Listen to this. Prayer number one, "Shall I pursue after this troop?" And the answer was, "Pursue." Prayer number two, "Shall I overtake them?" "For thou shalt surely overtake them." There was no third question. There was no asking to get it all back. But the Lord spoke to him, and he said to him, "And without fail, recover all." I'm going to tell you something. There is something, a promise that's hidden in that. You know what that recover all is telling David? They're not dead yet. Come on, that's letting you know that everybody that you're worried about, they're very much alive. Because God does not send you on a rescue and recovery a mission unless there is something that's worth going after. And I want to tell you, right here in this service tonight, we are on a mission. We've come to Ziklag. We've seen a little burning, and the smoke's coming up. But God said, "Pursue." What are we doing right now? We're in pursuit. I said we're in pursuit. And when we catch them, we're going to get some things back. It wasn't simply part or a little. And in this revival, we recovered some, but we've yet to recover all. We have gotten a few. We've picked up a little of this. And I'm by no means belittling what has taken place in this revival, but this is not all. Huh? All is all of it. It's every bit of it. But for some reason we've got to the place that when it comes to other things, we want it all. But when it comes to God, because we've allowed the compromise of this new generation to force us to settle with something less than the best. But it was never God's will for us to be shortchanged or to come up with half of it or a part of it. I'm tired of the used-tos and the has-beens, when all it'll take is for us to saddle up our horses and get back on the battlefield. You say, "But preacher, I'm worn out." 3 days they traveled to Ziklag, and when they got there, the city is burned. But David comes and listens, and I can hear he's not praying for the troops. He's praying and saying, "God, what are we going to do?" And you know what? I believe David made up his mind at the word of the Lord. If those 600 men don't go, he's still going to go. If they stay in camp, I'm going. I've got a family that they're worth fighting for. I can see as he arises, comes out of the tent. Holy, here's this bunch of bloodshot eye soldiers. They're still chomping at the bit. And he says, "I got something to tell you." "What now?" "I just got up from praying." "You mean you can pray? Well, we're all angry?" "Sure. Ain't no better time to pray than when everybody's turning against you." Absolutely. He said, "And the Lord said," and I just thought I'd just let you all in on this right here. "I asked the Lord if we should pursue, if we should overtake. And the Lord said, pursue and overtake. And without fail, recover all. And I see their eyes suddenly get that glow about them. All. Every bit of it. Mine too? Yours. What about mine? Yours too. All. Mine and yours. Yours and ours. All of us. We're in this together. And the only thing that's left now to answer is, which way did they go? Which way do we take? Where are we going? Here's a bunch of weary, worn out. I mean, they don't look like fighters. They're too tired to be fighters. I mean, they barely can get their swords strapped on their sides. And they have, come on now, I got to try to tell you something here. They're standing, the enemy's had a 3-day head start, and they're standing around the charred ruins of Ziklag, trying to figure out, they don't even know which way they came from, and which way that they're going to, but they just take off walking. I don't know if it's the right way or not, but we're going. It seems like what we ought to do. Are y'all going to help me here? I mean, they did not know that shortly on their journey, there was a little man laying out there in the field. That may not have seemed like much to anybody else, but he was an Egyptian. He was a little old fella. Amen. That his master had left him behind because he got sick. And this is where I may just blow your mind. Right here tonight, I believe he got sick on purpose. I believe it was the divine will of God. Ain't that cause that army needed a spy? They needed somebody. You see, if this young man had been an Amalekite, they had to kill him. But because he was an Egyptian, they could save him. They got out there, and they're in the middle of the desert. They still don't see nobody. There's a little fella laying, and they walk over. Hallelujah. They give him bread, and he did eat. I mean, he barely got a pulse. He's dehydrated. They give him water, and then they go grab the fig Newtons. Come on now. Hallelujah. That's kind of what it is, ain't it? A cake of figs. I can say it's probably a fig Newton. I ain't much on fig Newtons. But when I'm dehydrated and dry, if I thought fig Newtons would give me this much energy, I'd have probably bought me a whole box before church tonight and tried to take them in. Are you going to help me here just a little while? I mean, hallelujah. And this boy, I don't even like raisins at all. But they brought him some raisins. That guy got some energy about him, and he got to talking to him, and he told him who he was, told him what had happened. He said, we were the ones. I was there when they burned Ziklag, but I'm glad when one man was in on the burning, he's not afraid to burn it the other way either. Listen, there's been a lot of folks that have done wrong to the church, but I'm glad when they get in the church, they're ready to retaliate and turn it back on the devil. Listen, we don't have to sit down and second guess ourselves and live a life less than what God intended, living beneath the privileges and the promises of God. This little Egyptian said, I know where they are. And see, David, can you take us to it? Only if you'll promise you will not kill me and you will not give me back to my master. Well, is this making any sense? You won't give me back to him. And you won't give me. See, this makes David a savior. And that's the promise the Savior gives us. He says, I promise you, if you will help me, I will not kill you. You'll live forever. And I will not give you back to the devil.
Hallelujah. I'm glad that He said that He holds us with His hand and no man is able to pluck us out. Are y'all getting anything out of this yet? I'm telling you, it was amazing what happened when He paid that vow to him. That little Egyptian said, give me my sword. I need a sword right here. They started out with 600. 200 of them got weary. They've got 400 men chasing an army. And now they've got 401 chasing an army that they don't know where they went. But that little Egyptian says, I can lead you right to them. Hey, it's not bothering me a bit. That brother Jake over here, it's calling folks up. We're in revival. You know where they are better than I do. Go get them. Hey, but let me tell you here, he got them there. I can see this long journey, a 3-day head start. I don't know how far they traveled, but I can easily picture they went 2 days journey from Ziklag, and here is men that hasn't slept in nearly a week, and finally they come to the top of that sand dune. Their eyes are bloodshot. They've got dark circles under their eyes. They look like they're ready to fall over. But the first glimpse of the spoils, come on, anoint them that they are ready to fight. I can see them. 400 men, a sword's unsheathed, go running over the hill and say, it's ours. And we come to get it back. I would to God tonight that we get a burden of our eyes. I'm not going to settle with just a little. I'm going after it until I get it back.
Well, I know this is elementary preaching, but I just got this picture in my mind, and that's the only place I can get a picture. It sticks with me much. I've got to imagine it here. I can see David. There it is. And they might have been having a party. They're getting ready to fix supper. They're having a good times. They wasn't nobody in Ziklag when they got there. And they sure didn't expect nobody to pursue. They got it too easy. Ain't nobody going to fight for this. If they'd have really wanted it, they wouldn't have left it behind. But there's a war cry from the top of the hill. Put the cup down. That's my cup.
What was that?
Huh? Did y'all hear something? And then there's another one. You leave that alone. We're back. And we don't take kindly to folks marching in without an invitation and stealing our stuff. And we're not going to take no for an answer. You can either surrender or we're going to fight. I can see them Amalekites get up. They're trying to get battle ready as fast as they can. And they jump up. But here's where it really gets interesting. And David smote them from the twilight even until the evening of the next day. This wasn't an easy fight. They fought for 24 straight hours. I'm talking about some folks that hadn't had sleeping days. You'd have thought they'd have been worn out after the first one fell over. But I mean, they were like, come on, they were on fire. And they had a sword. And they were going this way and that way. Ah, come on now. And you just imagine what's taking place here. I mean, they're mowing them down. They're laying them over. They're not giving up. They're fighting with everything in them. And they kept on fighting until the next day. All night long. All day long. Until everybody was gone. And it got in my mind. Their swords were cleaving to their hands. They couldn't open their fingers up. But they went through and they recovered all that coin collection. Yeah.
Come on,
y'all think you just got to get the big stuff.
Come on.
They recovered all. All. And this was the day that a bunch of weary, worn out soldiers whooped. I like that word. Whooped. A bunch of folks that had 2 days of rest and didn't know what it was like to lose sleep. You say, odds are you can never win. Like I tell you, yeah, you can. Because when God says pursue, you're going to catch them. And when He says overtake, you're going to fight with them. And whenever He says recover all, that means you're going to win. Hallelujah. Come on now. I feel like telling somebody here now, maybe y'all ain't shouting. This is close to shouting preaching as I got right now. But I'm trying to tell you, from the weary, we got some winners. And for them 200 men that were so tired, they couldn't make the journey. I can see them as David gathers them up. And other men, they're already thinking selfish again. Hey, I mean, how are we going to divide the rest of these camels? How are we going to divide all these donkeys? How are we going to do the rest of this gold and silver and all these poles? And so David said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to escort them back to the brook of Besor. And there for them weary men that watched the rest of our stuff so that it didn't get taken. We got some on guard duty and we got some that are fighting. But the reward is the same because they're in it with us. I can see as they come back, them 200 men sitting thinking they may never see David again. But suddenly, over the horizon, they can hear the sound of hoofbeats. Somebody's coming. Should we run for cover? No. It's David. And the first camel he brings in goes to weary soldier number one because he was willing to cross the brook just to show he was a part of the battle. I hear to tell you tonight, from the weary, you can be a winner. With all this that I preached, and I'm fixing to quit. Is anybody tired tonight? Why did it suddenly feel like what we're going through wasn't near what they gone through? You know, honestly, when I read that, I'm not even sure I've ever even had a battle. We spend more time trying to convince folks how bad we are. Oh, you just don't understand. Huh? I understand there's some things folks go through that I don't understand. I just know how I do things, I guess. I think I would. And some things I have been through what they've been through, and I still knew what I did. But some folks, they think that their little problem is the first time it's ever happened in the history of the entire world. Their little city got burnt to the ground. And they look like a little child that they're throwing a temper tantrum, wallowing around in the sand, wearing themselves out that much more. But I'm going to tell you, when the crying's over, it's time to do some fighting. Huh? Well, I'm not trying to be cruel or mean, but some of you done been crying way too long. It's time to get up. Listen, I felt like today I done prayed through about this. I really have. And I'm not a self-proclaimed anything. I'm sure not a wizard. And I don't know. I don't really know what I am. But I'll tell you this much. I feel like I prayed through today. I come tell you. And the Lord said, pursue, overtake, and you shall recover all. Come on, but really the all is going to determine on how much of it you really want back. Some of it you feel like you can live with that. I really didn't like him anyway. Come on now, I didn't want that wife there nohow. They can have her. Sorry thing, come on now. Are y'all having me? Them kids are rebellious. I don't want nothing to do with them. Come on now. And as far as all that the ant collection that I had and all that other stuff, come on now, I'm telling you, there's some things I want, and I'm not going to take no for an
one answer. And David said, wait a minute. They messed with the wrong folks right here. We don't take things sitting down. We're not going to stay here in Ziklag and try to rebuild and recover that way. That's not recovery. That's rebuilding. But recovery is you go and get that that is lost. And I tell you what we need tonight. We've got to get a burden about us. How much does it mean to you? How bad do you want it? Get up. I said get up. Get up. And let's go and be the winner that God intended for us to be.
Maya. Well, never mind. Somebody I know, I've got to make sure I say this right. Somebody may get a tape. Somebody I know said, I just can't take no more. I've had all this. What's wrong? I just don't feel good. It ain't my wife I'm talking about, so nobody think that. I wouldn't even be talking about my wife. I gotta live with her. Come on now. Yeah. Say amen, somebody. I know, I mean, I there's a line I draw there. I know where I can go, where I can't. Hallelujah. And she always tells me, said, if you're going to use me an illustration, make sure you run it by me first. Don't wait till you get in the pulpit to try to use it. Huh? Somebody said, I just can't take no more. I just feel so bad, and I understand feeling bad. Well, this has happened, that's happened. Come on now. I'm not trying to make fun of your situation. I'm not trying to belittle your situation. But there ain't but one thing to do when you lose it, and that's get it back. I was preaching somewhere, and who was it? Talking about the key to this service now, Brother Keith? Talking about the key, I think, or somebody was. I can't remember. But I lost my keys to my truck sometime. Back I was preaching revival up in the North or South Carolina, somewhere in there. And there's only a set of keys. I got two sets, but one of them's at home. And I don't know why I've done that. I've tried now. I start bringing both of them with me. It's for cases like this, but I had my keys and then I didn't have them. And I don't know where they went. I mean, I'm out scratching around, digging through the grass. I've got a flashlight, crawling through fire ant beds, trying to find my keys. Well, if I don't find my keys, I ain't going nowhere. Not just then, but any time from then on. I'm stuck. I mean, you hear me now. And I know this may seem a little comical to you, but I went in. I asked my wife, she's seen them. No, I ain't seen them. I asked somebody else. I asked Timothy. I said, you seen them? No. I had everybody looking. We dug and we looked and I rehearsed my steps. I went from the trailer to the truck probably 25 times. I never did find them things. I was about to give up. And suddenly something clicked with me. I remembered what I was doing the last time that I seen them. I was fooling with the garbage. Well, I accidentally. Well, and the garbage that we have, we don't have Fido to feed the scraps to. They go in the garbage. There I was, beside my truck. I didn't have no rubber gloves. Come on now. I will make it as disgusting as I can make it right here. I mean, it was horrible. I emptied and emptied, and I mean, you know, you'd think I just tied that bag up. Them keys should have been on top. I don't know. But they found a way to go all the way to the bottom to where all that sticky gooey stuff was. And I dug and I dug. Well, three or four times I was digging through that bag and I said, this ain't worth it. Forget it. I just ain't gonna do it. I'll just do without. But no sooner did I say I was going to do without, then I'd remember I ain't going nowhere till I do get them. Huh? Come on now. I ain't never going to do anything else till I do get them. And I'd dig and remove a little bit more. And I'd hate it again. Now come on now.
And I know maybe this is a terrible illustration and disgusting and all the other things that goes with it. But I finally dug it all out and got to the bottom. That was my keys. And then I had to pick all that back up and put it back in the garbage bag. That was the good thing about it. I had to clean it all up. I tied it up. Went in the house, cleaned my keys up, washed my hands real good. And got everything ready and got my truck and headed down the road. I guess if there's a moral to this story, sometimes you got to really go a long way before you get what you're going after. But when you get it, it'll be worth it if we can keep on going. Hey, listen, I feel like they had a celebration, but there wasn't no time for celebrating it until everybody got it all back. And maybe that's why we're not shouting it and running the aisles in this revival. Everybody's not back yet, but when they get here, my, what a time we are going to have. Listen, we can rejoice in them that are here, but I want to tell you, there's some more to be recovered. And when they get here, we're going to have a celebration unlike anything that's been noted in Flatwoods in a while. Why? That's from the weary. We become winners.
Hallelujah. I feel like preaching to you. Somebody's got to come give me a song tonight. I'm wifeless. But I got to have a little help here on this. And I know that I know I've preached things in this revival that's been more powerful, more direct. And maybe you just thought it was just a lot better. But tonight I felt like telling you that I know you're tired of it. But you ain't accomplishing nothing. Digging through the ashes looking for a nickel. What you want is over the next hill. And ain't but one way to get there. You got to march. Hallelujah. This is my preaching. And I'm finishing. They're playing. Would you stand tonight? I've preached my best to you. I still got a voice. Lord, help me. I'll come back and preach tomorrow night. I keep thinking, Lord, some night, something different is going to happen here. Tomorrow night may be different. Who knows? But tonight, the winners has got to make up their mind to overcome their weariness. We're going to have recovery. You're tired. But we're going to have recovery. We're going to have to refocus and get back on the road again. Let's come tonight. Let's gather in. Let's have a season of prayer in this service.